You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show, hour number two, and the number is 800-922-6680. We've got a lot of things to get to. NPR now facing lawmakers calling to lose federal funding. Well, you know, obviously, as with all things we'd like with a weak, limp-wristed GOP under the leadership of Mike Johnson, who appears to be a complete sellout, nothing going to happen right now. But that said, the new CEO of NPR is she's a Karen. She's a liberal Karen. You know, we brought up this, somebody made up the name Karen a few years ago about busybody, you know, women, whatever, whoever. And I hate to disparage women named Karen, you know, because, you know, and it's terrible. But that's the popular expression. I apologize if your name's Karen. But I said that the person they are embodying is a liberal, cul-de-sac dwelling, busybody like Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched. And she noses into everybody's business. When a black man is shot by police, she immediately says, well, we got to get rid of Aunt Jemima. And we got to get rid of Uncle Ben. Well, why? Why? Because it's racist. Okay. And what else? We got to get rid of the Indian on Land O'Lakes Butter. Yeah. And then we got to get rid of the Washington Redskins. Well, they have nothing to do with George Floyd and all that. And you know, it doesn't matter. We're here to protect you because we're Karen. Yeah, and we also want to defund the police. But wait. Hold on. Our neighborhoods are already crime infested. It's really not the police problem. Don't worry. It's the police. We'll take care of it. We've got this. That's Karen. Karen is now in charge of NPR, and we will get to Karen in charge of NPR coming up very shortly on the show, all right? I want to mention real quick here, I'm doing the shows from from Bot Radio Networks, B-O-T-T. It is a Christian talk radio network, and I know the owner of Bot Radio Networks. I met him a couple years ago when I was out of work, and his name is Eben Fowler, and I had a feeling it was fortuitous that I met him when I did, and I've gotten to know him. And I knew something was going on there when I had coffee with him a couple years ago. And here I am in this studio. Yeah. And then as I left the studio today, I had to go upstairs in this office building, and I walked by an office. And it's Kansans for Life. Kansans for Life. Imagine that. I really wasn't all that familiar with this pro-life agency. And I just happened to be an adoptee who was given up for adoption because my mother was raped. I'm like, huh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah. We're going to talk to Eben later in the show. And this isn't about proselytizing. This is about where we are right now. And we really are in a battle of good and evil. We really are. There are people who are atheistic who are saying, oh, there's something going on here. There's Naomi, what's her name, the author. I'm drawing a blank on her name. She says, I'll look up. Naomi Wolf, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. I have these. And listen, I've got drywall dust on the brain today, and I'll get to that in a second. Naomi Wolf is pointing to Scripture now. Naomi Wolf, she's an atheist. You know, you've got people who otherwise are not religious people. Joe Rogan saying we need Jesus. What? Jesus is a Jew, by the way, you know. So, you know, it's not about Christianity only, but it is about good and evil. It really is. And people are starting to get it. People are really starting to get it. And I just think we're here. All of us are together at this moment in history for a reason. And it's to save the country and to save the world and to come together. Really, really do believe that. I hope you do, too. I really do, because I want to be I want to, I just, you know, here's a great thing that with all of the things that we've seen, with all of the CRT in schools and the transgender nonsense and the open border and the fentanyl and the government, you know, seeing the, how just black and dark the government is and the censorship industrial complex and all of this, evil has been exposed. Evil has shown its face, so now we can kick its ass. That's the expression I like to use. Back to why I'm in this building. So I'm at home this morning, and we're having a bunch of renovation done to the home. And for the first time in many years, we're going to have a kitchen that doesn't, it's not terrible. I've had a terrible kitchen. I mean, just a old, beat-up old kitchen, and I've had it for years, and I like to cook. So we're doing a new kitchen. And, of course, I come out into the where the workers are this morning, walking through the skeleton of the upstairs, and all the drywall's gone, and they're just empty, exposed beams everywhere. And they showed me up through the ceiling joists into the attic, and right above the kitchen where I was standing above my crappy stove and my crappy kitchen is 1 2x4, approximately 10 feet long, holding up the center of the roof of the house. And it's bowing. right above where I stood to cook. Right above everywhere I've been standing to cook in this horrible, horrible kitchen for 4 years is a cracked 2x4 ready to have the whole roof come down on us. And all it would have taken, because we were talking about doing maybe a new roof up there, another layer of shingles or several roofers to bring that roof right down. It's like, what? Oh, my God. We watch these home improvement shows all the time, you know, and you get that uh-oh moment where you've got to call the whoever, Fixer to Fabulous or whatever show you, the Property Brothers, they got to call the property owner and say, I got some bad news. We're going to have to cut the budget. You're going to have to add some more to your budget. That's what I saw this morning. That's what we saw right above me. And, I mean, it is a mess. It's a mess in that attic. And then on the other end, we've got a bunch of mice living up there. You ever see the movie Ratatouille when the old lady in the beginning shoots the ceiling and all the rats fall through? That's probably what would happen if somebody shot my roof in my house. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. I want to. These are these. By the way, I love this. What has happened in at the Google headquarters? Google employees arrested after staging a protest inside the CEO's office demanding Google cut ties with Israel. So these little snowflakes, by the way, and we know now that they are being bought and paid for. I knew this was this whole anti-Israel movement was being bought and paid for. And we found out yesterday it's literally being paid for by the IRGC, which is the intelligence security organization in Iran, all right? The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they are the ones who are sponsoring these bridge shutdowns and road shutdowns all over the country, and these little punks decide they're going to go in to Google HQ, and they're going to demand that Google, their boss, disinvest in Israel.
Google, you can't hide.
Google, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide.
Oh,
Google, you can't hide.
No, Google, you can't hide.
You are funding genocide.
And you are now looking for a job, you little punks. Yeah, they got fired. They got fired. Yeah, several employees were arrested, placed on administrative leave Tuesday after staging a 10-hour sit-in at the offices in New York and Sunnyvale, California, to protest the company's $1.2 billion cloud contract with Israel. A third protest took place in Seattle. They were all fired. You have no First Amendment rights at work. I don't care where you work, even if you talk for a living. Yeah, I'm not given direction on my show. I mean, a positive direction, don't get me wrong, but nobody says you can't talk about that. I'm very, very blessed that way, all right? But you don't have a First Amendment right at work. You do not. That's why when you go to work, when you're working at Lowe's, or you're working at Home Depot, or you're working at Best Buy, or you're working ever, you got to wear a uniform. Yeah, that's against your First Amendment rights, because wouldn't you choose to wear something else? You don't have a choice. You got to wear it. So I love the fact that these little punks who've been able to get away with this at universities everywhere, are being fired. You can't do that at work. And I seriously hope they end up in a serious situation in their life without a job. I really do. Because I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. I have seen it all, baby. I've lost it all. I've seen it all. I've lost it all. And I built back, and I came back, and I came back better. Because you know what? You always learn more when you lose. You always lose more when you have your butt kicked. And hopefully they will. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. We'll get into the Mayorkas impeachment failure yesterday. Not a big surprise. That's coming up. And this, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. So another 48 jurors, potential jurors, have been dismissed after they said could not be impartial. And that's fine. That's all cool and everything. Here's a couple of them who were dismissed yesterday.
So you walk into the courtroom and you see former President Trump. What are your thoughts at that point?
So I think what another news outlet has posted me saying was that it was surprising after seeing him as this larger than life public figure for so long to walk in and see that he was just another guy. And I guess by that, I meant two things. Like, A, anyone you see who's so much in the media, who's so big in all of our minds, you see them in person and you realize they're another human being.
Oh my God, you shouldn't see him as a human being. He's Satan incarnate.
Which is humbling because it's like, oh, this is another person who is right now just like any of the rest of us in this courtroom, but because they're just another person, they also deserve to be treated fairly.
Oh my God, imagine that. No, that's not what MSNBC wants. That's why she probably got dismissed. That's probably it. For those of you who think that seeing Donald Trump makes him into just another person, no. I met him. And I was at Mar-a-Lago. I got invited to dinner at Mar-a-Lago. I went with Chris Ruddy. I sat across the table from Mike Huckabee. Yeah, a guy who was selling cars a couple years ago. Sitting at a table at Mar-a-Lago being asked what I think about stuff. I know. But when he walked in that room, boy, woo, he was not just another person. There's a presence there, man. There is a presence there. He's not just another person. I think a lot of people are going to want off that jury because they don't want to be a part of, and I had mentioned earlier, I had said if he's acquitted, not acquitted, if there's a hung jury, is what I meant. And I think there are a lot of liberals who their friends, like the woman who was excused yesterday, asked to be excused because she couldn't be biased. She lives on the Upper East Side. She's an oncology nurse. She's getting a lot of messages from family members. And I think that she doesn't want to be on the jury because when this jury fails to convict Donald Trump, and who knows what's going to happen, but if it happens, she's going to lose everything. She's going to lose her friends. She's going to lose her family. It's going to be like being a conservative and going home and sitting at the Thanksgiving table with a bunch of raving lunatics. Or like losing all your friends like I did when I became a conservative talk show host and Trump supporter. Yeah, I lost most of my friends. It takes a while to get over that. I'll just tell you, it takes a while to get over that, to get past someone who you've hung out with for 12, 14 years. Had thousands of intimate conversations, meals, and countless New Year's Eves together, and all of a sudden be told, yeah, we don't want you in our house anymore because you support Donald Trump. Yeah, it happened to me. It really is. It's a terrible and pathetic thing that people would do such a thing. I've never understood it, but you soldier on. Your loss, because I'm pretty freaking awesome. Yeah. Oh, I want to mention Karen. I was talking about Karen. The new NPR director, her name is Catherine Marr. Catherine Marr is the new NPR director. And it was funny because I was watching, looking at Substack with Matt Taibbi, and he decided to put this list of tweets from Catherine Marr against a satirical account on Twitter called Titanic McGrath, which is makes fun of woke elitists, right? So it's the Titanic McGrath, the original angry rich white female. And if you look at some of the tweets here, like for instance, here's Catherine Marr. This is about Thanksgiving. Made it through dinner, zero turkey sacrifice to the racist uncles. And then here's a Titania McGrath. I call the mass genocide of innocent turkeys in service of an oppressive patriarchal cult. That's the parody, all right? Here's Catherine Marr. Was he saying Africans were stupid? Of course we knew it was Christmas. Africans answer, Live Aid. I don't know what that means. And then you see Titania McGrath, or whatever her name is, saying, I'm so sick of white saviors trying to provide clean drinking water to poor people in Africa. As members of the BIPOC community, Africans much prefer dehydration to the perpetration of white structures of power and privilege. Catherine Marr, Oscar is so far rapey, racist, and misogynistic, and oddly meta-comfortable with it. And then Titania McGrath says, it's time to boycott the Oscars for good. Not a single other ecosexual nominated in any of the categories. The ceremony is supposed to be about diversity, not merit. WTF. Then there's another one from Catherine Marr. I do wish Hillary Clinton would use the language of boy and girl. Would not use the language of boy and girl. It's erasing language for non-binary people. And then Titania McGrath said, stop saying good boy and good girl to your pets. This kind of gendered language is normalizing the myth of canine sexual dinomorphism. Yeah, I know. And you're like going, wow. Yeah, she is a cliche. She is a Karen, as it were. And Jim Gossard has put this together about her.
NPR's new CEOs, a liberal Karen. Berliner, he had to go.
Come on.
The truth he was sharing. Yuri, he got suspended.
Boom.
When he revealed NPR's propaganda, his fate was sealed. The CEO of NPR's a communist Karen. Same as Catherine Marr, she's overbearing. NPR, let's defund them, 'cause it's clear to see this liberal Karen hates you and me.
Up this weekend in the Atlanta area, sold out. So, not going to be able to add a second night to Jim Gossard live on stage. But those of you who go, thanks for listening to the show and thanks for buying tickets, because it's going to be great. So anyway, lawmakers considering defunding NPR. Ain't going to happen before November. It's not going to happen, but it does need to happen, by the way. And I speak from as a broadcaster who literally 20-some years ago, saw the massive slashing of budgets of personnel from radio to skeleton crews, and it has happened as broadcasting has suffered many things. They're still making money, don't get me wrong, but NPR has been basically recession-proof because of our money, and now they've just become a leftist tool, a bunch of malarkey. Malarkey, I'll just be kind. I'll just be kind about the malarkey. So anyway, coming up, we're going to be talking to Mike Carter of Newsmax. He is in New York City, outside of the courtroom, see what's going on the streets there in New York City. And I do want to get to the Mayorkas impeachment being tabled yesterday by Chuck Schumer. The reason being, as I said on day one, was that they want to keep the truth from you and me. They don't want all of the dirty details about government involvement in our open border, the sabotage of our border, the assault and the rape and the pillage of our people and our country. That's why. And you know what? That's cool. I'll wait for the tribunal. I'll wait for the tribunal to start in 2025 when Alejandro Mayorkas isn't just impeached. He's perp-walked. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. We'll be right back.
It's jury selection week as former President Trump's first criminal court case kicks off in New York City. From a jury pool of nearly 6,000 people in one of the most liberal cities in the country, will the court be able to find 12 unbiased people to impartially weigh the facts against Donald Trump?
Well, I'm not sure.
I think it's very difficult.
Probably not.
Why do you say that?
Everybody's biased. I don't think you're going to get a fair try in this with these wicked people.
Hundreds of people are going to be going through this courthouse this week. Are they going to be able to distill down the folks that have a secret bias against Trump?
Well, I hope we got to let the wheels of justice turn.
I hope they get all fair and intelligent and good heart
good luck.
And people.
Unbiased.
Unbiased.
Yeah. New York City, it's not really Trump country, though,
no,
is it?
No.
Oh, not really, but... Like, the mayor's a Democrat, but he's not, like...
And the governor.
Yeah.
And the DA.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and the attorney general.
Yeah. But they're not, like,
Trump haters.
Where do you find 12 unbiased people who are jurors in New York City?
Well, that's a simple question. Oh, in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a simple question to answer. Okay. How about Florida?
There you go. In New York, for Newsmax, I'm Mike Carter.
There you go, Mike Carter, with another great man on the street take on what's happening in New York City. And he joins us on the Newsmax hotline live in Manhattan today, my brother. How you doing today?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing great. A very cold and windy day outside the courtroom here in Lower Manhattan today. What's interesting, Rob, is, you know, for the first couple of days of this jury trial, or at least the jury selection portion of this Trump criminal trial here in New York, you had a lot of protesters and basically, you know, hundreds of media members. Today, about half of the media is still outside the courthouse. Only looking in the courtyard right now, outside of right across the street from the courthouse, there's only three pro-Trump supporters and nobody else. So much different atmosphere here today.
Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, Mike, I had posited this theory yesterday. One of the jurors came forward and said she could not be unbiased. She's an oncologist in the from the Upper East Side. She said a lot of her relatives have getting in touch with her. And I wonder, Mike, and this is just my opinion, I wonder if some people who really don't like Donald Trump don't want to be on a jury in case he's not found guilty, in case there's a hung jury, and suddenly their relatives know that they're on a jury that let Donald Trump off. I kind of wonder if there's a little bit of that going on.
Well, here's what you need to know today, Rob, you and your listeners. About 100 new jurors went into the courtroom today. 48 of that 100 were dismissed outright because they said they can't be impartial. Now you have another round of folks going through. We started the day with seven seated jurors. These were the jurors that were going to sit on this court case for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Two of them, that one nurse that you just mentioned, she came in this morning and said, look, the media is too much. People have found out where I work now. I don't feel safe. I don't feel like I can serve on this trial. Another juror, Rob, it was discovered, the court discovered that this individual may have been charged with ripping down Republican political posters back in the 1990s. The court then, we don't know exactly if this is the reason why that person was dismissed. Nevertheless, there was a sidebar that took place, but that person has now been dismissed as well. So we're now down to five seated jurors, and we're now on to the second round today to try to fill up that jury pool. But again, you know, this is something that both the prosecution and the defense, they're having a real difficulty finding folks who not only say that they can be impartial, but actually when you look through their social media, past maybe criminal records, are they saying what is actually truthful? Can they really be impartial? It's proving to be a huge issue in this trial.
You know, it's actually rather positive that social media, that some people are so open about their political beliefs on social media, it might make the vetting process a little bit easier for finding bias. Also, probably a little bit more difficult to find anyone who's not, you know.
And that's coming back to bite a lot of jurors. You know, we spoke to one of the dismissed jurors on Monday. This was a woman who worked in cybersecurity. She did not like Donald Trump, but nevertheless, she said, I can be impartial in this case. She commented about seeing Trump for the first time and how he just looked like another guy. And that, but she was dismissed because she said her work schedule would not allow her to sit in on this case for 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, you're hearing a lot of folks who, even though they may not like the former president, they're still trying to tell the court, hey, look, I can be impartial in this case. Some of those folks, Rob, today, they have been pushed on to the second round, even though they have discovered things in their past where they've attended certain political rallies, may have donated to one candidate or another. And they have been moving forward. Again, look, you have to fill up this jury pool. And in a town like New York City, you know, chances are better than not, you're not going to find a full pool of folks who are 100% neutral.
Now, Mike, you've lived in New York for a number of years now, and you certainly are closer to it than most. There was a time in Manhattan that if you even said Donald Trump's name out loud, you'd get punched in the face. We saw a massive rally outside of the bodega, where the employee stabbed the attempted thief to death, and of course Alvin Bragg went after him, put him at Rikers Island before he was released, and there were people outside, people of color, chanting Donald Trump's name, saying we love you, and a lot of people of color are saying that we are done. We are not afraid. We are not afraid to say that we like Donald Trump. Do you think that there is kind of an undercurrent, a shift of people saying, you know what, I'm tired of not being able to say what I believe. Maybe I was wrong about Donald Trump. He's not the devil. Are you beginning to see that a little bit more, or is Manhattan still that liberal bastion that you've always known?
Yeah, I mean, it's still that liberal bastion.
Of course, of course.
Majority of transplants who have moved here, you know, from out of state, who are living in, you know, the wealthier parts of the city. But you go to the places like Harlem, you go to the places like the Bronx. I was at a Christmas event last December for a bunch of Bronx Democrats that were supporting Trump. I mean, this is several hundred folks who are Hispanic. They're from, you know, Puerto Rico. They're from the Dominican Republic. And they were coming out chanting, singing for Donald Trump. You see it in Donald Trump's poll numbers now. That's why he's doing so well with Hispanic and black voters. He is not only talking about issues that affect these voting blocks, he is going to the places where these people live. You saw it on a Tuesday when he went up to that bodega. And again, that man, Jose Alba, the man who killed his attacker in that bodega, he was charged by Alvin Bragg, the same man that's going after Donald Trump in this case. And look, Donald Trump points to Alvin Bragg. He says, look, they're going after the good guys in this city, and they're not going after the bad guys. You think about these cases that we've seen recently, the Marine we've seen who was trying to stick up for folks on the subway, ended up killing a man who was, you know, harassing subway goers. That man is now going to be in court later this fall on a murder charge, you know, second degree murder charge. So, you know, if you're a Trump voter, or, you know, you're Donald Trump himself, you're looking at this DA and saying he's going after the wrong people. Yeah. Not going after the people that should be prosecuted.
Yeah, now we were talking about the trial of Daniel Penny, who took down Jordan Neely, who was of course threatening everybody on the train and everything. Let me ask you this, off subject, the New York Metro with the National Guard on board. Have you ridden the Metro lately? And what has it done with regard to being on public transportation? Has it made it safer? Because I'm hearing otherwise in many cases.
Well, you know, there's definitely a heavier police presence in the subway now, Rob. National Guard are usually at places that you would expect, major hubs, Times Square, Grand Central Station. But what has been nice to see is there has been an increased police presence at these subway stations to prevent people from hopping the turnstiles and to make sure that, you know, no one's being pushed on the tracks. But it's, you know, look, there are a lot of people in this city that just won't ride the subway outright. They say it's just not safe anymore. Yeah. Rob, it wasn't always like this. You only have to go back a few years ago, where New York City really was the safest big city in the country. A lot of people just don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Mike, because, you know, another thing that happens in New York is people want to make some money off of this. Are they selling Trump on Trail T-shirts? Maybe they got a special blend of weed up at the weed shop, free Trump weed or something. What are there vendors starting to sell Trump trial stuff?
Oh, there were definitely a lot of folks out here on Monday, Rob. I think the weather has kind of put that out for today. But, you know, people are, look, this is the circus, right? It was the circus when Donald Trump was indicted a year ago outside of this courthouse. And I think as we move along in this court case, and it looks like we could have an impending judgment one way or another. You're going to see those folks come out. On Monday, we had, you know, folks coming along, big rigs, blowing their horns.
Love it.
I remember during the indictment, yeah, you had folks selling Trump hats, Trump flags, all sorts of memorabilia. Again, I think today the weather is kind of put a stop to that, but we'll expect to see that over the next few weeks.
All right, one other thing. Next time I'm in Manhattan at Newsmax headquarters, where do I go get to the best slice? Because I've been going to Ray's up there on Times Square. It's pretty good. Where would you recommend I get a slice?
Oh, Ray's is excellent. There's also John's Pizza in the Village, and the name escapes me right now. There is an excellent pizza spot, Rob, up on 68th and 1st.
All right.
I will get you that information.
Yeah, next time I'm in town, hell yeah, I get the white pizza at Ray's. I get one slice of the white, and then I get just a slice of pepperoni at Ray's, which is about eating like a regular large pizza from Papa John's.
You can't go wrong with Ray's, Rob.
Oh, brother. Mike, let me ask you before. I like to say, you know you're in New York City when you go into a small pizza shop, you order a slice of pizza, and it's the best you've ever had in your life.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. You know what? I've been hearing, though, there is a spot in New Haven, Connecticut. It's
supposed
to be the best pizza on the planet. I haven't had a chance to make it there yet.
Yeah.
Of course, Rob, and now that I'm reminded, Patsy's Pizza, the original Patsy's in Harlem. Another excellent spot.
The New Haven, they put clams on it. They do a white pizza with clams up there. Yeah, I hear it's really good. All right,
and
bro.
Pineapple or just clams?
No pineapple, bro. Although I do like a Hawaiian pizza. I know that's sacrilege, but I do. Mike, God bless you, brother. Where can people find you on social media, Mike Carter?
You can find me on X, Mike Carter 09.
All right, bro. Thanks. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military.
That's your president.
Every one of them volunteered.
There you go.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along.
Yeah, I won't get into the rest of Uncle Bozy, but that's your president right there. That weak, weak, feeble human being right there. That's your president. That's President of the United States. And no amount of Joe Scarborough saying he is at the peak of his mental and physical condition is going to convince you otherwise. It's a joke. It's laughable. It's dangerous. The emperor is naked. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you know what? These are the hands we are dealt. We have to stay positive. We have to fight. Because the left is scratching and grabbing and trying to drag you into hell. It's not going to work. Not going to work. So, yesterday, not a big surprise, Chuck Schumer blocked the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, who has caused untold damage to the American people with an open border. As I like to say, that's okay. We will wait for the tribunal. Because sooner or later, we're going to have to hold these people responsible. We are in a revolutionary footing in our country. We are in the middle of a pushback against a Maoist, Marxist, Stalinist takeover of our country. We are in the throes of battle right now. We are knee-deep in it. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. And they're going to have these victories. You know why? Because they are conniving, and they're evil, and they don't care about you and me. All they care about is staying in power. All they care about is enriching their friends. And I'm not talking about just Democrats. I'm not talking about just Democrats. I'm talking a lot of Republicans, Mitch McConnell, now Mike Johnson. I mean, these people are going to have to pay for what they're doing. They're going to have to pay for it with their freedom. And that's what I'm hoping for eventually. When was the last time you heard a major corrupt Republican or Democrat put in prison in Washington, D.C.? Never in your lifetime, have you? Yeah, because they have immunity. They can get away with anything. I mentioned the other day, you know, we threw off the tyranny of King George III. But King George III would have done something about an open border that was allowing a foreign army to come in and take over the 13 colonies. He would have. I'm not trying to say that he was a good person, not at all. But he would have protected the colonies. We've got people in our government who aren't protecting our country or our people. And they will have to be dealt with harshly. Eventually, they will. They will have to be dealt with harshly. So this is Chuck Schumer yesterday. He's a weasel. Talking about why Alejandro Mayorkas, despite the fact that 85,000, many more actually, children have been trafficked into the country and disappeared, sex trafficked, working their debt off to the drug lords, 200,000 plus young people murdered by China with fentanyl, countless rapes and assaults, countless robberies, billions and billions and billions of dollars taken away from citizens who need it and given to illegals. And here is Chuck Schumer yesterday.
The impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas has nothing to do with high crimes and misdemeanors, and everything to do with helping Donald Trump on the campaign trail.
No, we want the damn border sealed.
Secretary Mayorkas has not been accused of treason or accepting bribes or unlawfully attacking our election.
He has allowed an illegal invasion into our country, and he has used our tax money to pay for it while lying to Congress and others about the intentionality of it.
Or anything of the sort. He has not been accused of criminal wrongdoing. He did not blackmail a foreign power to dig dirt on a political opponent. Nor did he incite a violent mob to win.
Yeah, there you go. He's trying to point at things that Donald Trump supposedly did but have been proven wrong. It's all right. He's going to get his eventually. Here is Ted Cruz.
Where's Dick Durbin, chairman of Judiciary Committee, standing up saying, no, it's not right that migrants are dying every day. No, it's not right that children are being assaulted every day. No, it's not right that women are being sexually assaulted every day. No, it's not right that they're releasing terrorists every day. They're not there. Not a Democrat is there. Why? Because you cannot defend it. I'll tell you, South Texas for 100 plus years has been a Democrat region of our state. It is turning red with the speed of a freight locomotive.
Amen.
Because nobody can see the suffering that is unfolding and defend it. And the Democrats, by their silence and by the complicity of the press corps, they are counting on the press corps to write story. Victory for the Democrats. Yay! They got rid of the impeachment trial. That's the headline they want. Understand they don't have a substantive defense.
Nope.
None of them disputes a word we are saying. Not a single Democrat has stood up and said, you know, it's wrong that Lake and Riley would still be alive if Joe Biden hadn't let her murderer go. They know it's right. The reason they didn't want a trial is they don't want the American people to hear about it.
That's what I said. That's what I said. The Democrat Party is, I started saying this years and years ago, morally and intellectually bankrupt and now just evil. And if you're a voter, if you're a Democrat voter, you need to really look at yourself in the mirror and realize that your party has become a monstrous, monstrous operation, an anti-Semitic, monstrous operation that presides over death and destruction and darkness. And it does. It does. And if you want to challenge me, call and bring it. Bring it. 800-922-6680. I acknowledge, or I challenge you to do so. Here's a little montage of people of color. No, let's take a break. We got some stuff coming up on the other side of the break. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show, hour number three today. The number is 800-922-6680. Columbia University president is accused of running the worst, one of the worst hotbeds of anti-Semitism and hate in America. Elise Stefanik tears her apart yesterday in Congress at a hearing. We'll talk about that. The Ukraine aid package, Mike Johnson, we'll get to that also. This is interesting. Researchers reveal that COVID mRNA vaccines contain a component that suppresses the immune response and stimulates cancer growth. Yeah, it's coming up. I lost an acquaintance, I won't say a friend, yesterday. A broadcaster, 58 years old, died of very rapid cancer. I don't know if it's related. I don't know. But tragedy nonetheless. Tragedy nonetheless. Let's reset here real quick. Soundbite of the day is Joe Biden talking about his Uncle Bozy. All right, you know you've sat around. I remember when I was a kid, And I would go see my grandma and grandpa and then the nursing home, and grandpa would relay these stories, you know, and you know, listen to them. And they're great, you know, and I'm sure I'll get there. I relate some of the stories that I have in my life now, but, you know, not ad nauseum, I hope, anyway. But Joe Biden likes to tell these stories, and you know, yesterday he told the story about being in the hotel and having the towel around him. Let me play it.
One day I showed up at an off-year convention, and I was in the motel, after the local motel, getting changed after the afternoon session, go back to the evening session. I'd come down with some young activists, a little older than me, but still young activists, who were involved in trying to reform the party.
Yeah.
And I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they had shower, toilet, and a sink. And I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door. Really loudly.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to hear any more about that.
What the hell is that? I thought it was this guy Bob Cunningham on a radio.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about you in a towel anymore with shaving cream on your face and all that. No, I don't want to do that. But anyway, today he talked about his uncle Bozy, who died in World War II because he Joe Biden says he was flying a fighter plane and he was shot down and consumed by cannibals. I still can't say it. I still can't say it. His uncle Bozy. Shot down in World War II and eaten by cannibals. This is real. But, oh, hold on. Yeah, I got to play some Fine Young Cannibals to set this up. Nice call, Brian. Here is Joe Biden.
We called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was on the Air Corps before there was an Air Force. Single engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found parts of the plane.
Yeah. The problem was Uncle Bozy was a passenger. There were three other crew members. It was ditched in the ocean. None of them survived, I guess. None of the bodies were found, and his Uncle Bozy was just a passenger. Was just a passenger on there. And I was thinking about how lucky those cannibals were that it wasn't Hunter Biden, because you'd get a contact high eating Hunter Biden. You would, too. And then also, I would ask this. If you eat a Chinese person, are you hungry 30 minutes later? I'm just kind of curious about that. Kind of wonder about that, but Jim Gossett, of course, came up with something brilliant today. A Neil Diamond classic, Cracklin' Bozy, on the Rob Carson Show.
Biden makes a lot of stuff up, like his latest tale about his Uncle Bozy. Joe had a hunch, Bose was New Guinea's lunch. Pentagon says that it never happened. Cannibals, Joe Biden says, ate his Uncle Bozy back in World War II. They took him by force. He was their main course. His name was Bozy, but they called him Stu. Everyone knows that Joe is lying. His uncle's story, no one's buying. Media's not even trying to mention Joe. They won't expose him, even with all the lies he throws them. Contradictions they won't disclose one word. Pentagon, Pentagon, Pentagon refutes it. Uncle Bozy had good taste. According to Joe, that's what the cannibals said. But we'll never know.
No, we'll never know. There you go. That is Cracklin' Bozy. Oh, by the way, if you want to help out Jim Gossett, you can go to his Patreon page. It's patreon.com. And just look up Jim Gossett Comedy. Patreon's a great place for you if you are a conservative content producer, because, you know, there's so many people who go after you, take away your advertising and everything. And so if you want to just help him out a little bit, just, you know, give him $5, $10 a month, whatever, it's pretty cool. And you get every day he will send you the latest project he's produced, like Cracklin' Bozy. All right? So just go to patreon.com. or look up Jim Gossett Comedy if you would check that out. Okay, so Mike Johnson's all in on this Ukrainian aid package, even though most Americans are not, because Americans are suffering. The bills in the House foreign aid package, which will be up for a vote Saturday, would appropriate a combined $95 billion for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific, with a lion's share of $60 billion for Ukraine. The open border is still open. The open border is still open. And this Congress is not listening to us anymore. Now, I've got a lot of people in my life who are still, they haven't given up on Mike Johnson. I don't care. I don't even care. Everybody's concerned about, what's going to happen if Mike Johnson is booted, and what's going to happen to this and all that. You know, honestly, they've already torched the place. They've already torched it. It's already up in flames. What they're doing to our country right now, it's already being done. And honestly, what's going to get worse? What is going to get worse? Honestly, certainly we don't want Hakeem Jeffries in charge. But honestly, what has Mike Johnson done to slow the progress of the left in our country? What has he done to fix the damned border? Not a thing. And I'm done. I'm done. The people in Washington, D.C. who are not there to help us seal our border, help the American people, I'm done with you. Done. Most of us are. We're sick of it. And all I want to do is I want to get us through the next 7 months to the election, to beat the snot out of anybody who tries to take the election from us, to usher in a new Trump administration, because he should be the president now, but the federal government was involved in the 2020 election. We know that they tampered with the election. They shut down the truth, among other things. And all I want to do is keep my powder dry. And if there is some sort of offensive sortie launched against us, as is happening in America's cities and universities with regard to these anti-Semitic protests, then you bring that to my hood and you're going to get a beatdown. You bring that to my hood and you're going to get a beatdown. That is it, and that is all. You got to bring that to the Kansas City area, and you try to pull that crap. It's not going to end well for you. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to get to the audio from Elise Stefanik here in a few. Another thing about Mike Johnson that's kind of interesting. He had some kind words for Jake Tapper Wednesday after the cameras turned off. He says, "You're always fair." That's what he told Jake Tapper. Jake the Tool Tapper. Who is obviously, incredibly left of center. I don't know whose Curry he's trying to favor, but clearly he is currying some favor. And I've lost faith in him. I don't have faith in him anymore. And I was wrong about him. I'll admit it. I was wrong about him. I thought he's always there on Jim Jordan's arm. He's always there. and I guess I assumed he's like, Elliot Ness, untouchable. But I guess I was wrong. So, I want to mention this. And this is more insane than teachers, pardon me, grooming children and hiding their proclivity to pretend like they're the opposite sex from their parents. This is a school at Nebo School District in Utah. Kids in middle school walked out of class. claimed they were protesting furries who growled them at school. Videos from the protest shows dozens of children holding signs and making accusations that school officials were ignoring their complaints. They're allowing kids to dress up like animals and act like cat and dogs. We thought this was a joke. I thought it was a joke. A live streamer named Adam Bartholomew interviewed the students outside of Mount Nebo Middle School in Payson and asked them, and they all went outside to protest. I want you to listen to these kids in middle school. Listen to this.
I've heard rumors about furries in school, and people on the media say it's a myth. It's not really true.
No. Okay.
So we're protesting against the furries because they're trying to spray us with Febreze in our eyes. They're biting at us. They're scratching at us. They're growling at us. They're barking at us. And we're trying to make a difference and change that for all of Nebo School District so younger kids don't have to grow up dealing with this.
Okay, so I'm seeing this all over the place. I saw it on the Blaze. And then I want you to listen to this. These are 7th graders and 8th graders. Listen to the language they're using.
What kind of animal costumes are they wearing?
Cats, dogs, foxes.
Like, what do you mean? Like a full-on bodysuit or what?
They're like tails, ears. It's very sexual and inappropriate. They're wearing butt plug tails underneath, like, skirts. They're wearing dog collars to school with leashes hanging off. It's just not okay.
Really? The children said their parents knew about the protest. One parent at the protest said their child had recorded video of the furries interrupting school, but they were allegedly reprimanded by school officials. Dads, I'm talking to you dads, not excluding moms. Dads, do something about this. Do something about this. I'm not saying you need to forcibly do anything, but surround that damn school and demand the resignation of this principal, that this is being allowed. Demand it. Here's a couple of the kids. These are kids standing outside protesting this utter insanity.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes. But every time they go, they're always just wearing a mask. But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day.
Yeah, they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
I'm like, get back to uniforms. Get them back in uniforms. If in fact this is true, and it sounds true, this is it. This is all we can take. We've had enough. It's time to take our schools back from these maniacs. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Your 100% safe and effective vaccine against the stupid is the Rob Carson Show.
So if you ordered your emergency medical kit from the wellness company, you should. We already know that a bridge was collapsed in Baltimore. That's affected the supply chain. We also know that China provides us with at least the raw materials for most of our prescription medications, and they aren't exactly on our friends list right now. And it's an election year. Don't you suppose you will need emergency medicine? That's why the wellness company is there. Have you got your emergency medical kit? If not, I want you to write down this website, okay? It's very easy, just twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson. You can get amoxicillin, you can get Z-Pak, those are things for upper respiratory infections. My producer, Ken, he got salmonella, literally, and he had Z-Pak, and he started taking it. After reading the instruction book he was given with his pack, healed him immediately. And he just like, boom, done. Stopped, I've had salmonella twice. Not fun. So if you're concerned about the supply chain, if you're concerned about another pandemic, why don't you go to twc.health/Carson, get an emergency medical kit, a travel kit, get a new pandemic kit, all right? twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson. Let's go to our friend Chris in Fortress, Fort Worth on the Rob Carson Show. What's up? What's with you today, my friend?
My brother, I love you, and hey, I hope you had a couple minutes. I'm not going to be too long, but I got
all right.
3 points to make.
Go.
But I want to first mention the mayor of Realville, Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
You know, I'm a citizen. You're a citizen. Chip Roy's a citizen. Marjorie Taylor Greene's a citizen. And even Trump is a citizen of Realville. And I miss Rush very much.
I know, bro.
But I got you, buddy. I got you. But Rush, back at when Obama was president, he was talking about why can't the Republicans beat the Democrats? And he was saying, well, the Democrats, that's Santa Claus. You know, how do you beat the party of Santa Claus? They promise everything. Well, they were the party of Santa Claus.
Yes.
You know, we got the $35 trillion, $100 trillion every 100 days and stuff.
Yes.
And it's insane. But he mentioned, the Democrat Party with Santa Claus, but it's the Grinch now. It's doing everything for anybody else other than American citizens.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And the border, that's their army. That's the Democrats' army. They have standing army. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's sickening to me. But,
all right.
But now, let's get on to, if I can,
real
Mike
quick.
Johnson.
Yes.
Mike Johnson, he's got to go.
Yeah.
And I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Chip Roy very much on this because he's sold out.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he's a Christian or not, he sold us out.
Yeah.
And nothing for the border, and he needed to demand that and not waver from that. And it's just disheartens me. I got my heart in some pain.
Do you think, who would you like to see in there real quick? I'm thinking MTG or Matt Gaetz.
That would be great, but also Chip Roy.
Yeah, well, no. Chip Roy was also a DeSantis guy. No, I'm not with Chip Roy. Nope. Mm-mm. Sorry.
Okay, well, I like him, but that's okay. That's fine. Agree to disagree. But yeah, it's sad. You know, my state's being invaded.
Yep.
But Fortress, Fort Worth, and then Tarrant County, Arlington, Texas, also, yep. And other cities here in Tarrant County, we have more conservatives, registered conservatives in this county than any other county in the United States. And yeah. we're the only conservative large city, 13th largest in the world, okay? And we're conservative. That's very rare. There's no other major yep. city that's conservative yeah. or have a Republican mayor.
Yes, sir.
And I'm proud of Fort Worth, and I'm not going to leave. And I look at downtown when I walk out my door, and I'm like, I'm glad to see the west side of Fort Worth.
All right, bro.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right,
and
brother.
I'm losing my country, Rob. I'll let you go, but I'm losing my country, and I maybe mention what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. We aren't losing our country because we aren't going to let it get lost. We're done. Done, 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 done. Thanks for the phone call. Do appreciate it, though. So at least Stefanik had the president of Columbia University, which should be defunded yesterday. President Nemat Shafik was accused of running the worst hotbeds of anti-Semitism, of hate. And a lot of these universities have been shown to be anti-Semitic hotbeds. The students, the Jewish students on campus are being terrified, and I'm done with them as well. Anti-Semitic professor Joseph Mossad apparently is still on the website of the his department, even though he claimed that October the 7th was great. Here is Elise Stefanik confronting the president about this man still being on staff.
It's the website's right here.
I don't want to misstate because
so he hasn't been removed as chair.
I would like to.
Do you have my commitment? He'll be removed as chair today.
I have my commitment that I will come back to you and give you the facts.
So he hasn't been removed. So you said in front of Congress under oath
that. I am not sure.
He was removed. Well, I'll tell you what, he's still listed on chair. Let me ask the Board of Trustees, is that acceptable that he's chair of this committee? Should he be removed today?
Yes. Shipman. Should be moved from his position of power. There should be fired. She asked about disciplinary actions against Mossad. There were some other, apparently another professor, Mohammed Abdu, said he was with Hamas just days before he was hired. Here's a little bit more of the great Elise Stefanik.
So let me be clear, President, that he was spoken to. Who spoke with him?
He was spoken to by his head of department and his dean.
And what was he told?
I was not in those conversations. I think.
But you're not aware
that,
what he was
that
told.
Language
what
was unacceptable.
He told? What was he told?
Yeah, this is unacceptable. Anti-Semitism is never acceptable in this country. And if you espouse it in any way, shape, or form, you are gone. Your university is defunded. I would encourage all alumni at these institutions to immediately withdraw your support. All right. So coming up, we're going to talk about the great organization. Oh, this is perfect. This is one of my favorite songs. My favorite song of my life, actually. I've got a lot of songs that I really, really are important to me. This one is called Show Me How to Live. It's by a band called Audio Slave. Unfortunately, by a man whose name was Chris Cornell, who ended his life a few years ago. This song came out. It's kind of weird. I'll just tell you the story. This song came out right about the same time that The Passion of the Christ came out. It was weird. It was kind of weird that it happened that way. And if you listen to the words of the song, he goes, and I believe he's talking to God. He goes, you gave me life, now show me how to live. It's a very interesting song from a tortured individual. And that's why it's kind of become my... I guess one of my favorite songs. Let me see if I can find the lyrics officially to the lyrics here. Nail in my hand from my creator. You gave me life. Now show me how to live. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That's Chris Cornell of a rock band called Audio Slave who wrote that song. F And then the afterbirth on the quiet earth, let the stains remind you. You thought you made a man, you better think again before my role defines me. Male, nail in my hand from my creator, you gave me life. Now show me how to live. And in your waiting hands I will land and roll out of my skin, and in your final hours I will stand ready to begin. I didn't realize when I remember when I heard it and that movie came out, and I'm like, what is going on here? And I always look for meaning in a lot of different things. And that song, thanks, Brian, for playing that. I guess I didn't even expect you'd do it. I'm joined by someone, a special guest, who I've told him that I really feel that our meeting is fortuitous, and there's a certain degree of destiny involved. He's Eben Fowler, and he is the Vice President of Operations for this organization, whose studios I'm doing the show, BOTT Radio Networks, B-O-T-T Radio Networks, Christian Ministries Online Talk Radio. And Eben, welcome to the show. It's a gift. I mean, it's a gift. You know, I met you a couple years ago, and we had a cup of coffee, and we started to visit, and down at Scooters, had a coffee, and talked about things, and since I've gotten to know you, you've gotten to know me, and I want to ask you before we get into that, your network. Tell me about your network and what you guys do, what you guys the message you're trying to give people.
Have been for many years, so you can listen to our programming all over the world. If you have an internet connection, smartphone, or a computer, and we talk about getting the people, the Word of God, into the people of God. Mm-hmm. That's our very simple mission, and we do that by airing and carrying the highest quality Bible teaching, Christian news, and information programming.
Gotcha.
That's what we do. Focus on the Family, Chuck Swindoll, et cetera, et cetera. Just a great lineup of programs. You know, one of the cool things, and I started in radio back in 1972, way back when, with my Uncle Posey, or whatever his name
was. Yeah, Uncle Posey. He got eaten by cannibals.
Yes, I know. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, pieces.
Pieces, exactly. Yes. So, started in 1972 at the local NPR affiliate.
Oh, yes.
National Panhandle Radio,
yes,
I believe is what
Chris
that stands Krapplauser. For.
Yeah.
So, started way, way, way back. And I've been here for 24 years here at BOTT Radio Network.
Gotcha.
And the difference between, say, a public radio station or a rock station or whatever and what we do is, you know, you hear from listeners, but when we hear from our listeners, we hear things like, you changed my life, you saved my marriage, you literally saved my life. Well, we didn't, but the Word of God and the messages that we carry through the programs that we air do that. Yeah. We've gotten some incredible life-changing stories, and that's just exciting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're in a battle of good and evil. I mean, we really are right now, and it's crystallizing for me in my mind and my heart. I know. And you know one thing that's interesting about you? Because you think, you know, he's the you know, VPO at Christian Broadcast. You don't proselytize. You don't Bible bang. You talk and you listen.
Well, we share the gospel.
And you share the gospel,
absolutely.
Of course. You do, personally.
Yes.
You listen. That's one of the things you do brilliantly. You listen and you take it in. And I enjoy the conversations I have with you.
Same here.
There's another song I think I told you about. Because, you know, I had a miracle happen in my life a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When I was hopeless. Alcoholic. I was drinking myself to death. I don't call myself an alcoholic because it's no longer part of my life.
And we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here, bro. I when you're asking God at night to say, take me so my family can have my life insurance. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to put my family through it. I would have never killed myself like Chris Cornell did, but I was resigned to my life was over. And I was hopeless. And I, on November the 11th, 2 years ago, woke up not remembering, pardon me, the taste of alcohol. It was gone. It was gone. It's been forever gone.
We call that a miracle.
The Beast.
Rob.
Yeah, the Beast is gone. I killed the Beast. And there's this other song, Dave Matthews, and I remember my producer, Ken, told me, Rob, you know, those lyrics are, there's, you know, that's a temptation there, and it's a song called Bartender by Dave Matthews, and the line is, bartender, please. He's in front of a bartender where he always is. That's where an alcoholic is, and he's sitting there, and he's drinking, and he's looking at this bartender as, I guess, some sort of being. You know how we talk to bartenders, or I don't know if you don't drink, but whatever, if you do, I don't care. But that's where you talk, and he goes, bartender, please, fill my glass with me, with the wine they gave Jesus that set him free after 3 days in the ground. Give me that drink that saved Jesus and resurrected him and brought him back from death. And that's what happened to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about hope. I heard a definition for hope that just the other day I was reading this. It says, hope is a confident expectation in a future reality that we lean into to give us energy to live today. And, you know, that's very biblical. It's a biblical concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hope is, it's, we all have to have it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have been really focused on Israel and the struggles that Israel are going through, the existential crisis. And part of that evil is going after Israel to take down Israel. They want to rid the world of the Jews.
That's right.
They want to. And we've had this happen before. This is the first time it's a reality since World War II. We always look at it in history books as the extermination of the Jews, but that's what these people want. That's what's happening now.
Yep.
You're a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I have a profound and deep brotherhood with my Jewish friends. What are your thoughts
on? And
we
should.
What are your thoughts on the Jewish state and preserving the Jewish state?
It's absolutely biblical in proportions. You know, that's where Jesus came from.
Yes.
And so, you know, you can talk about kind of theoretically, what does that mean? What does it mean in terms of the future and, you know, the end of days? But the Iranians have been talking about this for a long time, wiping Israel off the map. They call them the little Satan.
Yes.
Keep in mind also they call us, the United States,
the great
Satan. So, you know, I think it's critical that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that we support the Jewish state and support Israelis and Israel. And we need to be praying for our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Yeah, yeah. With regard to the you know, I like to say that in our country, hillbillies and homeboys and Hebrews are coming together. We are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jews and Gentiles are coming together, black and white, conservative, liberal. We are. We're recognizing there's this threat. 70%+ of us believe the country is going in the wrong direction. 70%+ of us can come together. And I even know of people who are lean toward agnostic atheistic, and they're recognizing good and evil.
You know something cool about Iran, and I don't know, we may have talked about this the other day. There, I think she's a soccer player over there, an athlete, an Iranian athlete, who stood up and said, I love Israel and the Jewish people, and she was put in jail recently about, you know, because of that. A lot of the Iranian people, who knows what percentage, do not like the people that are running that country.
Yes.
The church, the Christian church in Iran, is growing. It's an underground church. It has to be, because if you're out there holding church on the corner, you're probably going to be shut down and thrown in jail.
Yes.
But our church, for instance, supports a ministry, Elam Ministries, that's working in Iran. And so things are changing there. And you've got this woman with incredible courage who stood up, knew, probably knowing what was going to happen to her, saying, we don't like what the mullahs, the Islamic Republic, is doing to us.
Yeah. Well, I think that a great awakening is happening. I really do. I do believe we are in historic times. And a great enlightenment. Listen, I've always heard this, great enlightenment, this and this and this and this, but it really is crystallizing in my mind as I see this. It's not hyperbole, it's not storytelling, it is real. You can feel it. You can feel it. And I come from a scientific background. I'm a, you know, Catholic, Jesuit background, learned to have a marriage between science, philosophy, and faith, and I believe they can all exist. And if you believe that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, equal and opposite, the yin and the yang, and the yin has been the evil, and the yang is coming back to counter it right now. I really believe that, Evan. I really do.
Well, we know how it's going to end, and it's not going to end well for evil. But we're going to have to go through some tough stuff to get to that
point. Can we take a break, and we'll come back and wrap things up with you? Because I want to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And to the American people and patriots across this country, it's time for us to be one America. No longer can we sit back and say, I'm a white American, I'm a black American. We have to be Americans right now and stand up to the tyranny that we see that the Democratic Party is doing in our community. You're talking about our schools. You're talking about pedophiles, drug cartels, drugs here. You got immigrants killing people and shooting people and intimidating. This is not the American way of life.
This is Chicago Pastor Patrick Lowry. And I saved that soundbite from months ago because this is about coming together. And I, my entire broadcast career, have focused on children, their well-being, their adoption and fostering. And I have been focused on the crisis of the black family in inner cities. And it doesn't end at the black family. I'm not going to be, you know, I come from a family. My father left me when I was 7 years old. I went through an unbelievable life, and I've managed to rise above it. And I just believe that we are coming together. We have to. We can. It's okay. The Democrat Party is not offering you anything. They're offering you darkness and negativity and all of this. And I'm going to tell you, you mentioned Eben Fowler, by the way, Vice President of Operations for BOT Radio Networks, Christian Broadcast Company, in the studio. And Iran calls us the Great Satan. And the Democrat Party calls, you know, us white supremacists, racists, all of these, the opposite. They project upon us. And that's what I believe evil does. It projects on you what they are to deceive you.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of that that's been going on. And I, you know, I sit back and I wonder, the folks, don't want to be partisan here, but I'm going to be partisan.
Yeah.
The folks on the Democrat side have all of these ideas, their policies that do nothing but mess up the country. I don't understand it. You know, maybe it's being done on purpose, but it just,
of course it is.
Things aren't working out too well
right now. It is a Marxist, Maoist, Stalinist revolution. It is the what I like to say, the moist dream of the class of 1968. Barack Obama helped usher it in. He was the first person to be fully indoctrinated by the black nationalist church, anti-Semitic Marxist church. And he was groomed to become this candidate. He is, and I do, I believe he was the penultimate Manchurian candidate. And it's very clear. I knew it when I saw the first Christmas when he was in the White House and they had a Mao Christmas ornament.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's your subtle, yeah.
What a part, what about the fundamental transformation of America don't
Amen.
You understand?
Amen. You don't fundamentally change things. Unless you hate that, you want to change how it was. You know, listen, I understand my wife fundamentally changed me. I needed it.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah, I know. Look, dude, yeah, you got to fix this. But he had a he despised America. He has founded, and this is why we've heard all of this. This complete changing of America, sitting during the national anthem, you know, dividing us on race and sex lines, you know, inviting this madness into our schools, like transgender surgeries on children. That is a Voltaire had an expression someone had sent me a long time ago. Those who believe absurdities will commit atrocities. And we've seen that. We've seen that, you know. What do you think about, you know, CRT and this madness in schools?
Oh, it's done nothing but mess things up. And, you know, you were talking about furries in a school.
Yes.
I guess it was Idaho, something like that.
Yes.
I mean, how crazy have we gotten that we accept something like that? It's insane. And I feel bad for the kids who are coming up these days, who are being bombarded with all that stuff from social media, from their friends, whatever. But, you know, let's get back to sanity, please.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like to say, and one of the lines that I've used on stage, I didn't really expect the response that I would get. But I say that we have to make 2024 the year we return to nonsense from common or to common sense from nonsense.
That's right. There Get it right, Rob.
Yeah, that's what
it's the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to return to common sense. I have been mourning the death of common sense for a very long time. Also, the death of shame. The death of shame, mm-hmm. where we have a man who is unable to compete with other men in a sport and is so devoid of shame that he will claim to be a woman to compete and beat a woman. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's nice is that we're starting to see a few of these female athletes really standing up
yes.
and going out there saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Their dads should have started doing that, you know, before they did it.
Of course. Of course.
Come on, Dad.
And there's also another thing. Women have been made to be feel ashamed of being women, their femininity. The left has managed to take the most defining moment of a woman's life, if she chooses, the birth of a child,
mm-hmm.
and make the most defining moment of a woman's life the killing of the child.
Oh, so sad.
It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. You ask even women who are pro-choice, right? They had to change the name, pro-choice. When they have a child, what is the most amazing moment in their lives? And it is the birth of their child. So why are you denying it? Why are you denying it to somebody else?
Well, you know, you talk about good and evil. The whole abortion movement is an assault on the image of God, as is all this transgender stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to basically deface the way God created us, man and woman.
Exactly.
It's very simple. There are two genders.
Yeah.
That's it.
And listen, I am a patient person, and I'm a loving person, and I'm an accepting person. Most of my friends are liberals, although many of them decided to forsake my friendship when I became a conservative talk show host and even support Donald Trump. Literally, good friends say, you're no longer welcome in my house. And I can appreciate, listen, I've seen kids, friends of my kids who have been questioning their gender identity and their sexuality, and I have been nothing but loving to them. I am here no matter what you want, no matter what you need, I'm here to help you, okay?
Yeah.
But a great disservice, and what's really profoundly sickening, we've got to wrap things up here pretty quick, is that so many of these kids, particularly young women who are very susceptible to mania, and social contagion, have been taken advantage of. They were taken advantage of during COVID, and now this. Listen, we do have to. I just got a click in the ear, so we have to say goodbye.
Yep, very good.
Evan Fowler, thank you.
It's been a pleasure and an honor being on your program and having you here.
And we'll have you back next week. Let's take a break. This is The Rob Carson Show. Today's podcast is one you want to share. That's particularly my conversation with Evan Fowler about good and evil and coming together for each other and for the country and for the world, okay? Go to your favorite podcast platform, look up The Rob Carson Show, or ask Alexa to play The Rob Carson Show. God bless you guys. God bless and save America and Israel. And until tomorrow, as always, do not get so stupid.